Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. And we'll probably start, though, you can put a marker there, we'll probably start in 1 Corinthians 2. I thought the two messages this morning blended together quite well. Although Dave's there for a little while, I thought I was going to have to listen and pray for the interpretation. But I got enough of where he was going that, see, in mind, the early one that was talking about, we could say it, if you know, awake to righteousness and sin not. If we ever wake up to who we really are, our walk when it comes to holiness will be quite different. Not from a legal standpoint, but from a revelation standpoint. And so I was really kind of talking about authority or power to walk more holy based on revelation of who you really are. And it's like the Spirit through Dave came out and says, well, and one step, that another thing that accompanies that is that you're going to learn your authority at the same time. So it's a walk of holiness, but it's also a walk of power. And then he mentioned, even when it comes to averting natural things, you know, the prototype, Jesus, when the storm came and they were going in the ship to the other side, you know, the disciples reverted to natural knowledge. These were fishermen. They'd made a living all their life on those seas, and they'd probably been through many storms, and obviously they survived, you know. So they used all of their natural knowledge and worked hard and toiled all night through the storm. I used to get so upset in a way because I thought they ought to get an attaboy, at least a little, you know. Here they've used all their knowledge, all of their accumulated, acquired wisdom. They're trying to save the Lord's life and their life. They're trying to accomplish the mission. How many ever worked hard trying to accomplish the mission, you know? See, the reason that seemed right to me is that's how I used to be. I would work hard for Him. And it was a long time before I began to understand He wants to work hard through me. Boy, there's a big difference between those two walks, you know. But they toiled all night, it says. And finally, it wasn't working. They're going to sink. They're right at the verge of sinking. I don't know what Peter had in his... You know, Peter had to be the one. But I don't know what Peter had in his mind. Lord, don't you care? You know, I can see him... You know, somebody had a bucket, bail, you know, somebody pulling on ropes and oars, whatever they used. I don't know whether Peter expected the Lord to grab a bucket or an oar and help him. But see, Jesus, he just walked in the authority that he had. He stands up and he rebukes the storm. And it just came to a calm. The wind ceased. Another one was Peter's mother. I mean, we just have a few little words about that incident with Peter's mother. Or was it his mother-in-law? Mother-in-law, I think. And she said she was real sick. And, you know, and we do what we do as humans. You know, chicken soup. Hallelujah, I believe in it. You know. Comfort and helping and doing. Yes, good chicken soup. Hallelujah. But Jesus... He didn't say anything against any of those things, but see, when he came in and found her lying sick of a fever, he didn't, you know, bring the chicken soup. The way it's worded, I'm not a Greek scholar, I'm really not, and others here are more than me, but this one, I was so interested, because the way it's worded in the King James, I was wondering if it's really worded like that. So I got one of those interlinear Greek things, and sure enough, it says, he rebuked the fever. This must be where Norval gets that phrase. How long has it been since you had a conversation with the flu? Jesus had a conversation with the fever. It says he rebuked the fever and it left. Who knew fevers had ears? I'm making that up right there. Okay. But it's like the thing had ears. And it left. See? So we're coming into a time of authority in two realms. Authority to walk free from sin, because Jesus, no matter what religion has taught us and no matter what our experience has taught us, Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And he was talking about committing sin. So we're going to walk more and more into a holy life But at that same time, we're going to walk more and more in the authority of the firstborn. And the authority that he says that we really have. Now, we're going to get to that in Luke chapter 10. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is one of the... To me, I mean, I have taught this chapter 6 ways from Sunday. It's one of the most profound... It helps me understand religion. It helped me understand the Darwinian, the person who believes in Darwin. And good, well-meaning people, scientists. I grew up in I was educated in an engineering environment, and I knew a lot of good people that scientifically trained. And I mean, you know, doctors and really smart people. IQ, really high IQ. Some of them were atheists. I mean, they had so much intelligence, yet God calls them a fool, because it says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So they could be so smart in natural realm, and yet what the Bible would call a fool in the realm of the spirit. And the answer to all of that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's pick this up here for just a moment, starting verse 9. Now I'm going to add the word natural where it says eye hath not seen. We're not talking about your spiritual eye. Let me tell you why I can take liberty to do that. Come on down to verse 14. He's contrasting the natural man with the spiritual man, somebody who's not born again and somebody who is born again. See verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Let's back up now. So he is contrasting the natural man. See, if you go all the way back to the garden, in the beginning, there's two kinds of knowledge. See, originally Adam is plainly called the Son of God. He's not the second member of the Godhead, but he was born of God's Spirit. He had the life of God in him. God, and of course, same with Eve. It was just Adam and Eve. They were to contact God by their spirit. They were born alive. Can I say it that way? Spiritually alive. They had full contact with God, their Father. Revelation knowledge flowed freely. It says God would come and walk and talk with them in the cool of the day. Yet, and God gave them an assignment on earth to keep, tend, and to keep the garden. So this physical body, if you'll allow me, I like to sometimes call it an earth suit. And the 5 physical senses in it were how they were to relate to planet earth. They were to process information through the eye gate, you know, the 5 physical senses. They were to process information, all right. But really, their source of knowledge was God, because they're really at their core, they were spiritual beings, and they were alive to God and had fellowship with God. So if you can get the picture, God, it'd almost be like the USA sending men to another planet, we have a mission for them there, but they're USAans. They're in contact with Houston with NASA. They're in contact. They have contact. Yet we know for them to live there, they've got to have, if we're sending them to Mars, they've got to have a Mars suit. Okay? And through that Mars suit now, they can interact with Mars. Now, if you're going to write a horror story, a science fiction novel, that's pretty close to what's happened to mankind. First off, they lost their communication with Houston. They lost their source of information. And then the second thing, their earth suit, something happened to it and it became perverted. And it started telling them what truth is. And they believed it. And they were cut off. They were cut off from the source. That's not far off from what's happened to man. There's 2 sources of knowledge. The original source was and is God. But see, the natural man here, he's been cut off. He's in an earth suit. And all he knows is what he can see, feel, touch, smell, and hear. I think I got all 5 of them. That's the only source of knowledge he has. He processes it through his natural mind. And he doesn't find God in a rock. Most of them, they don't find spirit things. And so they wind up trying to answer the questions of the universe. Who are we? Where did we come from? Based on knowledge that came in through the 5 physical senses. and they come up with wrong conclusions. Okay? So you can see all of that right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. As it is written, I'm going to add the word natural. The natural eye hath not seen, nor the natural ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of natural man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. They can't know them. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But God hath revealed them unto us by us being who? Us, people that are born again. He's writing this to the Corinthian church. These are people that he himself led to Christ. He pioneered this church. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, I mean, after you've been born again, now we have received not the spirit of the world. And they got it right, little s. The spirit, that little s, the spirit of the world, that's what every human receives passed down from Adam. It's the spirit that they have in them through the law of Genesis. And it's born dead. It's born lost. I used to not know that until the born again trail, but it is. It's passed down through the law of Genesis. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And it's amazing to me that they got it enough to put a little s there. That's your new, reborn, human spirit. Houston, crackle, crackle. Can you hear the radio the day you got born again? Crackle, crackle, Houston. We have contact again. God, crackle, crackle. Man, that radio hadn't worked in ever. And all of a sudden, crackle, crackle. I can hear God. Hello, you have tapped again into the source of all knowledge. Now I can teach you truth from the... See, there's... In the same way that the natural world is full of truth. I mean, full of things to be discovered. You know, there's so many things... I read an article one time, and my percentages are not... I don't know them exactly, but it's close enough. They were saying, like, of all the flowers in the Amazon, all the different things that might have medicine, they had discovered, like, 0.5% of what they think is there. So there is a whole world of natural discovery. Could we call those mysteries yet to be understood? And thank God, these scientists, they give their whole lives to understanding those mysteries. But I'm here to tell you, this whole world was created from another world that we call the realm of the spirit. And there is a... I don't know if one half of 1% would probably be very generous. You talk about the mysteries yet to be understood, things that we don't know. In the same way that a person can give his life to studying the flowers in the Amazon because he wants to get the cure for cancer, he's trying to find something natural that would help. What we're doing, we're scientists in the realm of the Spirit, if you'll allow me. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, you know, he that speaks unto God, he's speaking those mysteries. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. Your radio is working again. You've made contact with heaven, the source of all knowledge again. And he will teach you these. That's how you explore in that realm, is letting the Holy Ghost. The same passage. All of that's right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Houston and everything. Well, you have to kind of... Well, the analogy, the truth is there. Now look, he says, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. See, and only after you have that, it says that, once you have that, then you can know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which who teaches? The Holy Ghost teaches. Who is it that teaches you these mysteries? It's the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, the scientists, everything they learn, they're comparing natural things with natural. They do controlled experiments, and they're okay, we know how titanium works if you do this to it, but how does titanium work if you do this to it? Oh, and they're comparing natural with natural. In the realm of the spirit, you come in, and you're saying, I mean, start with just elementary basics. I want you to forgive that evil person. What? That's a mystery to the natural mind. What? You know what they did to me? What? Yeah, I want you to forgive them. You know, you don't know that further down the road, power for you to walk free is in your willingness to let them walk free. So you don't know that. That's a mystery to you. And that beyond there is a step into holiness and power that you never knew was there. But it tells you it's the same way in the realm of the spirit. You're a scientist. Or you're a scientist. I don't know what else to a pioneer. You're on the cutting edge. You know? Well, anyway, he says the Holy Ghost is teaching these things, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man, here we go again, that natural man, I don't care how many PhDs are behind their name. I knew an atheist once who could quote the Bible. He's one of those guys that had a photographic mind. He doesn't have to memorize it. If he ever read it, he can see it. See, that's something that's like Dave says, that's a floating gene that came down from Adam. Apparently, Adam had that ability. And every now and then, somebody will catch that gene, you know. Rick Renner is one of those. I didn't know for years that Dave told me Rick Renner has a photographic mind. So Rick wears glasses. But when he preaches, if you'll ever watch him, he takes his glasses off. You know why? He doesn't want to be moved by your reaction. He can't really see your faces that close, so he takes his glasses off. What's funny, he'll put them on to read his Bible, and he doesn't need to. He does that for us. Because it's just like he can flip through the pages in his mind just as well as you can flip through here. It's called a photographic memory. Boy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe you have trouble forgetting stuff, too. But, you know, some stuff needs to be forgotten. I got a witness over here, all right. Okay, now verse 14. But the natural man, see, it doesn't matter. Yes, sir. Kid of my son, the boy. Man. Santa lebresto kidiando ste mancusta. Sando lo frecimiste. There is no natural study that you can substitute for the training my spirit gives. There are, shanda lebrestos, even though who walk this path have difficulty leading you there. For they were not trained by man, and they were trained by me. They can place signposts on the road for you, and you can aspire to walk there. You will not walk there without being trained by my spirit, says the Lord. Wow. Okay. See, and especially if they're not born again, says the natural man, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. Now get this. Neither can he know them. You can't know them. Oh, I was going to tell you about the atheist guy. Now, you talk about a smart fellow. This guy had PhD after PhD after PhD. He did the most to damage my walk as a young man. Because, you know, this guy's smart. I mean, he had a photographic mind. He could quote. You just name the chapters you wanted, and he'd just quote them to you till you told him to stop. Because to him, he's not really quoting from memory. And the way his mind worked, he's just reading off the page. And he could go as long as you wanted to stand there. Incredible. But he did not know God. I remembered him. He did a lot to damage, you know, because in those days I just didn't understand. I didn't know any of this. And I thought, how can a man know that much of the Bible and not believe in God? So it put some cracks in my foundation that later the Holy Ghost had to heal. But look, the natural man, if you're not born again, I don't care how much of an IQ you have, I don't care how much education you have, you cannot know the things of God. That's why there's different gifts in the body. Evangelists, I used to have this friend that got saved in our little group. We had a little group of real estate people that all got saved about the same time through Michael Muccio. Of course, different gifts were given by God, you know, when we all got called. Boy, this one guy was an evangelist. I mean, he is a pure evangelist. If you're not on the streets witnessing with him, you're not even saved. He'd put me under such condemnation, and I'd feel guilty. I mean, you know, so I'd go with him. It was amazing. This guy, he had a tenacity and an anointing, and nothing bothered him, and he'd win him to Christ. And I'd seen him get beat up before, go right back and do all kinds of things, And I try and follow in his footsteps, and I'm stumbling all over myself, and there's no anointing at all, and I'm, dear God, you know. It was a long time before I understood that as a teacher, my job begins when the evangelist is finished. I have really nothing to... I mean, I have one message. I can do that one. Christ and Him crucified. That's what Paul did here with the Corinthians. He says, when I first came to you, there's only one message for a natural man or woman. And that's Christ and Him crucified. Because until you get that spirit of from God on the inside of you, there's nothing you can understand. Hallelujah. All right, verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. God, I wish we would learn this. Because they are what? We're back to the spacesuit. Houston, God, we hear your voice again. Finally, communication is possible now between Father and child. You have access one more time by one Spirit to the knowledge of all things. You talk about speaking mysteries when you pray in other tongues. There is no telling. He told me one time if I'd allow the Holy Spirit to finish His training in me, He said the anointing would become in my hand like a wrench is in the hand of a mechanic. Wouldn't that be something? You know, a really good mechanic, hard to find. Honest, good mechanic. But boy, a wrench in his hand is a wonderful thing. I mean, you can have real problems. And with his skill, man, he can just, with his tools, God intends for his church to be just like that in the realm of the Spirit. That anointing just be, we just flow in it like that mechanic uses his tools. We flow in that anointing. And it's not really a mystery any longer because it has become normal. What we call miracles, God calls normal. Just what he does. Well, Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There he goes again. Go over to Luke 10. And let's translate that. Keep all that right there in your mind when we're talking about authority. Like this morning. Not only the authority to walk free from sin, or let's say the power to walk free from sin. But then the authority that Dave was talking about. That authority to be able to stop natural disasters. That authority to be able to cast out devils. That authority, ultimately, it's revival. Where everyone that comes, no matter what their sickness, every wheelchair emptied, exactly the things that we've been confessing. So let's, Luke chapter 10. Now see, yes sir, the reason that he's combining this tonight, this is the passage where that verse is, I give you power. I give you authority to tread on all the power of the enemy. See, we can have the natural knowledge of that. You might have heard that since you was a little child. You might see others walk in some degree of it. But what he said a while ago by the Spirit, that's a signpost for you to know that it's possible. But to really walk there, you're going to have to be trained by his Spirit. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They heard, these were natural men. They heard knowledge. Oh, Paul casts out devils by the name of Jesus. So they tried, see, natural men trying to go and use natural knowledge, but it's spiritual knowledge, all right, but they're natural men trying to apply it. We adjure thee, you know, we command thee in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Come out of him. Of course, the King James says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Some Greek scholar said to me one time, it says, Jesus I know, Paul I've heard of. Who are you? They did not know who they were, but they may not have been born again. I don't even know. We're not told. But if they knew, if they were born again, they didn't know it themselves. They were just doing something with natural knowledge that they had heard. I remember in the early days when I started listening to the Word of Faith message. And my God, I'd never heard anything like this. You know, some of the exploits that I heard of these great men of God. Man, I set out to try and do some of those same things. Fell flat on my face. After a while, I found out it's hard to live on another man's faith. You got to have a relation. You got to have, Houston, you need your own communication with home. You got to have your own training. You need access to your home planet, access to your father, yourself. Be trained by him. See, you got that? All right. Well, Luke chapter 10 here. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed others and 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, that would mean wallet, I think, today, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And he just almost casually, like, I'm giving you these instructions, you know, now I want you not to go to house. I want you to eat whatever they give you and heal their sick. Notice how casually the Lord says it. Like, it's just normal. And heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the... So there's a long passage here, and for sake of time, I want to come down to verse 17. You see the commission. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They sound stunned almost. It's like, we got, Lord, did you know? It's almost like, you know what we found out? We healed the sick and all that, but you know, they didn't even mention that. They're going, did you know that even the devils are subject unto us through thy name? And he said unto them, well, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. Now, the Greek word there is exousia. That's really the word we would use today is authority. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, that word there, even though it's power both times in the King James, the word there is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. He's talking the raw power, whatever devil you come up against, I have given you authority over all of his power. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto... You need to underline that next word. Subject unto who? Now see, that's the revelation that we don't have. Nobody in here has a problem knowing that the devils are subject to Jesus. The problem that we have in the church today is we don't know that the devils are subject unto us in his name. See the way they said it earlier? Look at 17 again. Even the devils are subject unto who? For benefit of this video, there actually are people in the room. The devils are subject unto who?
Us.
Turn to somebody. Devils are subject unto me. In the name of Jesus. I hope I can find this. Yes, there it is. I looked up that word. Nope, that's this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. Through my great organizational skills. I looked up that word. Subject. And it is the Greek word hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. Even the devils are subject unto us. It's Strong's number 5293 if you want to look it up. Now, you want to hear what that word means? Well, it does. It does that, all right, but it's even more so than we thought. The word means to subordinate reflexively to obey. Now, it means they have to be obedient. It means put under. It means subdue unto. It means to bow the knee. It means to make subject. It means to be put in subjection. And the last one says it has to submit itself to you. Turn to somebody again. I'm telling you, the demons, they are subject unto me in the name of Jesus. They have to bow. They have to obey me. They have to be in subjection. They have to do what I say. That's what the word means. No wonder he said, any mountain. See, he said, whatever the mountain is. And so that, to me, that means whether it's demonic or whether it's just by natural. It doesn't matter what the mountain is. If you'll ever believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass, when you speak, that mountain will move. And it'll be cast into the sea. What does that mean? You can't see it anymore. It's like it vanished. It's gone. Where did it go? Well, it must be in the sea. Can't see it anymore. Now, see, this is knowledge you're not going to get from studying rocks. This is not natural knowledge. There's two sources of knowledge. People give their whole lives to get a doctorate and a PhD and all of that from natural. What we need is a bunch of misfits that care enough about these mysteries to become scientists in the realm of the Spirit and let the Holy Ghost teach us these things. We got Amazon's worth of revelation knowledge to discover yet. Mysteries to be uncovered. I remember in Korea, I was sitting there at Yonji Cho's church. Thank God I got to go one time. I didn't get to preach there, but I got to go on Yoida Island. At that time, it was the biggest church on earth. I don't think it still is, but it was at that time. They had like... they started having services at like 5 a.m. or something. And they had them every hour and a half or so. They can empty that place out and bring them back in about 20 minutes. Most Koreans are the most efficient people on earth, I think. And I got to go to one of the 3 o'clock services. And, Pastor Cho didn't preach that one. He was in his 70s when I was there. He did several of the morning ones though, and then some of his proteges would take over. But anyway, I got to sit up in the balcony, really beautiful, nice, big church. And they had a wheelchair section like most churches do. And the Lord drew that to my attention as the getting ready for the service and everything. And I'm sitting there and I had a good view. And I heard the Spirit of God say, now watch that section. Now, first of all, it was a really good service. And it was all in Korean. I didn't understand a word they said. How do you sing along? You sing in tongues during the... I recognize the melodies, you know. But he said, now watch that section. And see, Yonji Cho, they believe in miracles. They have miracles all the time, and he believes in miracles. It's good. But see, at the end of the, and several people got saved. The anointing was there. I saw several, you know, I could tell it was an altar call, and even, you know, at 3 p.m, several people in that congregation gave their lives to Jesus. Thank God for that. But Lord, he wouldn't let me take my attention away from that wheelchair section. And at the end of it, they had to wheel them all out. The same way they wheeled them in. And the Lord says, do not stop praying the mysteries. That is not my will. That is not my will. It's not my perfect will. And what he's saying, there's a lot more available than this. Do not stop praying the mysteries. Well, in this passage here, he says, don't rejoice necessarily that the spirits are subject to you. Don't start getting big-headed is what that means to me. Hey, when we start walking in there... And see, I don't want to be unkind, you know. But it has gone to the head of a lot of people. This is why God in our generation is not really... You know, He could have had a gifts revival here a long time ago. Just leave us the same, have a gifts revival. I've been in so many of those things. I've read about more than I've been in. I know about this one in Florida where this guy, miracles happen. I won't tell you his name. It's not, you know, there's a lot of them. But this guy, miracles genuinely happen. But right after that, near the end of the service, you can have a prophecy from God for $300. And you go, you know, what in the world? Gifts revival. Babies handling gifts. It's like babies running around in that 442 automobile that I talk about. You know, it's not that there's not power there, but boy, it causes lots of damage too. See? What God's after this time is a people. You talk about endurance being the key. I understand it better all the time. I've been here a long time. Even now, I'm really still just understanding that why the Holy Ghost on the very first service of the prayer center said endurance is the key. What we want is revival yesterday and leave us alone. Can't you just, like Dave says, can't you just give us miracles and leave us alone? Yeah, he could. He has. Not this time. What about a people that's so transformed to the image of Christ, which is really God's purpose? We could go back to Romans chapter 8 and talk about the purpose of God, that every believer be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what he's after. What if God can have a revival through a people that can't be bought? Sex won't draw them. Money won't draw them. Fame and fortune won't draw them. Prison won't run them off. Won't compromise. What if God had a group of misfits? What I mean by that, the world would call. I look around this room. I could go out in a parking lot here. You know, we don't see it full of Bentleys. If it is, it's an old rascal. But if there is. Now, I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying God's, it's like he's almost purposely. There's a group, just like it says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, not many mighty, not many noble. You know, not yet. Why? It's not fun. That prayer closet, have you all noticed? Fasting, oh dear God. Read 1 John how many times? The things you talk about endurance and see so little, it just seems agonizingly slow. I'll tell you just this little bit. We're headed towards the end here. I remember the early days of the trucks. Now, fortunately, for those that may not know, when Sue and I first started here at the prayer center, I was a long haul truck driver, and God had me in the perfect job for somebody that wants to pray a lot, especially praying in other tongues. Because I was stuck in the cab of those trucks anywhere from 40 to 70 hours a week. All I had to do was turn off the radio and begin praying. Okay. But I say that so casually. I'm telling you, it was a war to start doing that. And then now the good part about the trucks is at least my mind could enjoy the scenery and my mind could be focused on what I'm doing. But then later, after the trucks, he gave me an ugly building. And if you ever see it, you'll say, that's an ugly building. Little old concrete structure. Nobody had even stepped foot in it in 15 years. The first day I was there was December 6th. And it was so cold, there was it's one little window about this big, one. And it was so cold the day I went in there that there was a quarter inch of ice on the inside of the window. That's where I prayed. Now, over time, you talk about there's no scenery going by. God says, this is where I want you to pray. While you're praying those mysteries, you know and I know, it is agonizingly slow. And the devil is beating your brains out saying, nothing is happening. Now, let's have at least as much gumption as those guys going through the Amazon. And they say, well, maybe it's this flower. And they snip it, and they save it, and they bring it back, and they run tests on it, and that one don't do nothing. And they go back for years and years, and they spend their whole life. And maybe in a lifetime, they'll find one thing that'll help mankind. See, it's agonizingly slow in that realm, too. How long have you been sending money? I know I have for a long time. See, I had polio when I was 5. March of Dimes. Pretty well cured polio. Now they're working on cerebral palsy, I think, see. Well, hey, it's more, I'm sending some money there. You can do what you want. Okay? But how long they've been doing that? Decades. You have need of endurance. See, endurance. So even those changes in the natural, they're agonizingly slow too. So what? We have men in the natural that'll give their whole lives. Maybe find one or two things that'll help. The Holy Ghost is good at what He does. He's a better teacher than you are a student. And if we'll give Him the time, I like to say it this way now, because I know I have a great revelation. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I know this. He is smarter than I am dumb. He is better teacher than I am a student. And if I'll give Him the time, He will teach me the things I need to know. We'll all handle that anointing like a tool in our hand. And I'm looking forward to that day. Please don't stop praying the mysteries. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Praise God.